Welcome to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast, where we give you all the news, the leaks, and the
rumors.
That was very, very cool. I'm joined by the man with my name in his name, Jordan, the Platinum King, the God of Thunder, and the Trophy Hunter. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm even better now that I realize that your name is in my name. Why have I never noticed that before?
Connected from the hip. The Professor of Gaming, the Solid Snake to my Nathan Drake, Stealth King, creator of the Dan Allen YouTube channel, and the number one advocate and ambassador of PlayStation All-Stars 2, it's Vikarth.
How are we doing?
We should also add the only advocate.
That's true.
And of course, I'm just the small little YouTuber here down under, Dan Allen. And we are the PS5 Central Podcast. It's morphin' time.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Tell you what, there's not enough good Power Ranger games.
Yeah.
You seem like there is a game.
I tell you what, you know what I don't want? You know what should happen? Do you know the Rocksteady TMNT thing? Scratch that. Rocksteady Power Rangers. Doom. Boom. Do it.
Power Rangers seems like the perfect formula for a good, like, for a game. It's the perfect palette, template, I should say, to design a game. Give it to Ubisoft. They'll do well with it.
Or Platinum. Platinum would also make it really cool.
I was being sarcastic, but Platinum would be
I know
great.
You were. I just ignored you.
So have you guys heard the news lately? Just going around Twitter and the gaming circle of this little sort of back and forth between some people about game difficulty.
Ooh.
I have. And just the whole, you know, reviewing of it. Should reviewers play a game on, should they be playing it on easy? Are they getting the full experience? That's all a conversation. I know you've all got thoughts. Let's start with Jordan. What are your thoughts on the whole thing from what you've heard?
I definitely have thoughts. I feel like I'm very much like a...
Maybe explain what...
Do you want to start off explaining what the thing is first, Vic? Maybe explain what the debate was?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Dan could, but sure.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry. So yeah, someone can.
Basically, there are certain commentators in the video game space who are saying that it is illegitimate to play games on easier difficulties. As reviewers, it's not authentic for them to play on easier difficulties.
And it wasn't mincing words. That was what they were saying. Like if you review it on easy difficulties, your review should not count.
Yeah. Yeah. Should.
And it's also just the stigma around if you play on easy, you're not a real gamer and that sort of thing. As well.
Yeah. Sorry, Jules, go ahead, mate.
Yeah, so that's the essence of it. And then I'll just say, like, yeah, my thoughts are like, I'm very much like, who cares? Like, that's my primary thought. I'm like, who really cares what difficulty you play a game on? I know there are some games that are like, you know, like the game that always comes to mind is Dark Souls, when I'm like, that's obviously that doesn't have a difficulty, but if there was some sort of assist mode, I feel like that would definitely change the experience compared to what that game normally plays like. But if it's a game like Outriders, like I just finished playing Outriders and I played on like close to the easiest difficulty for most of the game because I just wasn't enjoying it, but I wanted to get through it. But I actually enjoyed it more because of that. Because I was like, it was just like a really fun, like just wave after wave after wave shooter. And I really, really enjoyed it because of that. So like, I don't know. And like, as you can see, by the way, I'm explaining myself now. I'm very much in a spot of like, who cares what difficulty you play a game on? Just you play the game how you want to play it. In terms of where it comes to reviewers, I'm like, I think I don't really care what difficulty a reviewer plays it on as long as they say, hey, this is my thoughts of the game. This is the difficulty I played it on. Like, don't be shady about it. Not that I think there's anything to be shady about, but I think it's just as long as the reviewer is upfront about, hey, this is the game I played. This is the difficulty I played it on. This is how I found it. I think that's all that's really important. But yeah, just play games how you want to play games. No one, don't let anyone tell you how to play games. Like, that's just silly. I think that's super silly if you let someone else tell you how you should enjoy the game that you paid for. Yeah, I don't know. That's my thoughts boiled down.
Bye, Garth.
Yeah, I've got a bit. I've got quite a bit to say about this. It's very interesting. I'm very much on the side of Jordan. I would say I agree with Jordan, except a few caveats. And Jordan actually addressed one of these. And it's just like the Dark Souls example, I think, is a brilliant one, because that's a game where the difficulty is inherently part of its identity. What makes Dark Souls so special, or part of what makes it special, is its difficult nature. So I think for a game like that, where the difficulty is baked into the game, if there was some easy mode, I think it would do that game a disservice, and it wouldn't, for a reviewer's point of view, or I feel like you wouldn't get the most out of it, or you wouldn't be able to explain, because the difficulty is part of that game. So like to play it on easy, you're not actually covering the whole game, if that makes sense. That's why they didn't put a difficulty, right? So you got to, you know, these guys, obviously my theory is, you know, a lot of these developers, they create the games with a certain difficulty in mind. Let's say they create the game for medium difficulty and then maybe hard and easier sliders, you know, more health, you know, or less health and more damage and that sort of thing. Maybe scarce ammo, that sort of thing. But I would say, yeah, you can play it on whatever you want. Even reviewers, as long as you're upfront, just so people would know, not for you to prove yourself or anything. I think it's stupid to say you're not a real gamer if you don't, you know, play on a certain difficulty, because, you know, I consider myself a gamer and I never played game. There was a period where I didn't play a single game for 2 years, but I still was up to date with it. I still followed, I still loved games. It's just, I didn't play, I didn't have time. And, you know, I still could say, so it's not about the games you play or how hard it is. It's a cool achievement, but it's, you know, the other thing I'll say is, so, you know, for a game, you know, if let's say Jordan, he's very good at shooters. So he plays the campaign of Call of Duty on veteran difficulty. And he's like, or let's say another game like Returnal's. Yeah, let's just say Call of Duty. And he's like, okay, that final mission was so hard. I kept dying. It was intense. It was exhilarating. I loved it. It was fully action packed. And I was on the edge of my seat because I kept dying. Now let's say someone who's bad at games, bad at shooters, he plays it on easy mode. He had the exact same experience, because to him, easy was hard, and he had the same edge of the seat. This is hard. I kept dying. I really had to, like, you know, try my hardest to win. It was so exhilarating, so much fun. So in that case, you're not losing any experience. It's because it's relative. The difficulty is relative to you. But the other caveat I would say is from me and my personal experience, playing Mass Effect, the first time I played the Mass Effect trilogy, I just wanted to smash through it. So I played that on easy. I think I even played on narrative. Now, narrative difficulty means you essentially, you can't die. It's like you're that overpowered. And it's like enemies Explorer die quickly.
Mode in Uncharted.
It's like Explorer mode. And what I would say to that is, now that I'm playing Mass Effect on pretty much the hardest, I think it's one below Insanity, what I realized is I really, the little minute gameplay elements, the upgrading and all that, I really didn't care about narrative because I didn't need it. I didn't really care about upgrading.
Why did you play narrative?
Just because I wanted to smash through it, you know?
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't care about the skill points of my own build.
You only
cared
about the story.
Yeah, not even the guns and stuff. And now when I'm playing Mass Effect, I'm having so much fun doing inventory management, putting mods on my guns.
Are you having more fun than when you first did it?
Yeah, more fun. So that's where I'd say, look, for a difficulty like that, it could rob you of the experience, because the whole gameplay I almost neglected the first time through. So I'd say someone who is reviewing Mass Effect, playing on narrative, it might not capture the full experience of the review, but I think it wouldn't invalidate that review, because you can still review the story and even the gameplay. It's just, you'd have to say that up front. So from a game, like if you're just a regular guy, difficulty, I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about from a reviewer point of view. Is a review valid when you're playing on different difficulties? And I would say for the most part, no, except for maybe games like Mass Effect where there might be a narrative or explorer difficulty. I would just say it's still a valid review, but you just got to tell everyone that you're coming from that perspective, and then it's fine, I think. Because
yeah, just depending on the game.
there are people who are going to play in Mass Effect on narrative difficulty, and they probably want to review that reflects that difficulty.
That was a point I was just about to make. No one seems to be making the point that there are people who either need to play on narrative or just want to play on narrative, and where are they going to go to find a review on what that's like? I don't think I've ever thought about it that way as well, where it's like, that's definitely a perspective that someone needs to take.
Yeah.
And this whole thing of like, your review isn't valid because you didn't play it on this is so ridiculous, because it's like, well, they're just talking about their experience with the game. That's all a review is.
No one can be good at every category of game. Like, I can't be a beast at shooters, RPGs, rhythm games, sports games. Like, you just can't. So there's going to be games where you're going to chop the difficulty down just a bit. And I think if you're finding it fun and enjoyable, and you feel like you're extracting all the value you can out of it, then yeah. I think part of what makes a game fun is the challenge. So if you're feeling challenged at the lower difficulties, then that's still a challenge and it's great.
Well, Ratchet and Clank, I didn't die, but it was quite easy to go through on the normal difficulty. But that was on me. I could have upped that, but I chose not to, you know.
But that's the trap. That's the one trap I would say is you could feel like with a game like that, like you could just rush, do you know, and then you don't really get the full experience. So as a reviewer, I think that would be doing a disservice to your review because you're rushing a game. But as a gamer, it doesn't matter.
Well, I wasn't rushing it. I'm just saying I wasn't dying.
No. But I would say I was just saying as a reviewer, I think like anyone who reviews any product, like tech YouTubers who review phones, you can't just quickly look through a phone for 5 minutes, you know, or people who review cars. You can't just like look at the car and test drive it for like 10 seconds. You know, you have to take your time with it. So it's the same for a game. You can't just rush through a game like on easy difficulty and sprint through it and then review it. I think so that would be unfair.
Both think you doesn't matter what difficulty on the review, but if you play it on the lowest difficulty, like an explorer or a light mode, you have to tell the viewers.
I think you should tell. I think that
regardless,
like, no matter what difficulty you play on, it should be mentioned what you played it on.
Okay.
Like, I don't think it's like a don't mention it unless it's on the easiest.
What about? I think it should just do be, they have to beat the game to review it? Do you believe they have to beat the game, finish the
story? My personal view is on, and this is a similar thing for the difficulty part of it as well, is that it sort of just depends on the game.
Is like, it the same first, thing? Again, you just have to clarify how far you were.
I think you just have to clarify, because I'm looking at Outriders again, and I'm like, I think I mentioned this last week, could not care less about the story in Outriders, skip through all the cutscenes because I could not care less. All I wanted to do was play that game. If you didn't finish Outriders, I don't think you'd be doing a disservice. I think you'd get especially when some of these games are so long, I don't think you'd be doing a disservice to the game to be doing that. But then if you're looking at a game like Red Dead, I think you would be doing a disservice because you're not going through that whole journey, but it's not the same journey that's being experienced in Outriders. So
I'll be willing to bet there was a few reviewers that didn't beat Red Dead.
Yeah. I think you just got to be upfront, like Jordan
and again,
said.
Again, I don't care. Like, even if you didn't finish it, I don't think it makes your review invalid or anything. Just say you didn't finish it.
I think you could flip. If you flip the argument from the opposite perspective for both the video game difficulty and this, you can, like, for the video game difficulty, do you expect the reviewers to play every game on extreme difficulties? Like, and then they complain the game was too hard, it was unforgiving, it was unfair. And then so you can't expect them to play it too easy, too hard. Like the other thing I'm saying is, like, if the game is like after 10 hours, you know that this game is terrible. It is terrible, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So are you expected to finish the rest of the game because you know it's terrible? I'm not saying.
So
Assassin's
do you think
Creed,
you could have reviewed that? Because I remember you specifically saying.
No, I don't think I could legitimately review Assassin's Creed Valhalla and do some, you know, 10, 20 minute video on it to review on that after playing 10 hours. But if I was playing a 10 hour game that was shocking hours.
Sorry, wouldn't your review just be you got bored and that was it? You didn't like it?
Well, yeah, it just might not be a comprehensive review of the full product.
I guess this is the thing. There are games where it gets fun after a certain time. Anyone who watches any TV show would know, like, you know, if you're recommending it to a friend, just wait till, you know, 5 episodes in, or just wait till season 2 gets really good. I think games
until Slade Wilson cuts her head off. Right.
I think this, you know, games have that application too, where you can say, wait till it gets good. So people could get annoyed if for me, Valhalla, I only got up to the place where it opens up, where the whole world opens up. So people would be like, oh, well, it gets good then. But then I made my opinion after 10 hours of playing in the starting area. So people will be like, well, that's a bit invalid because you haven't really experienced it once the world opens up. So that's valid. I can understand that. But it's all just a matter of, I think, perspective. And as long as you're upfront and open about it, you can say whatever you want about any game and tell on your experience. It's just whether the reader can extract value from your review and from, you know.
Mm. Now, I do want to get to Dan's thoughts, but my one last take on this is that I think a lot of this stems from just this overbearing, macho,
elitist,
toxic, masculine, elitist attitude that, you know, everyone has to compare, you know, how much better they are compared to other people and all this other stuff. Like, it's such a pointless argument that is just perpetuated by just like toxic people. Like, I'm being completely honest.
It's very elitist to say like, you know, I played all the Dark Souls, man. And you can't even play it. You're not good. Yeah. You're not a gamer. Like
you played all the Dark Souls and that makes you a gatekeeper to that community. Like, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Like,
gatekeeping is a very good word.
Yeah. It's just like, who do you think you are? Yeah. Like,
it's like people, when I used to like play people on Overwatch and like, bro, your SR is only like, you know, 2,500 or 20, you know, it's like, so what? I'm enjoying being at this rank playing against people of my skill. It's so much fun. It's like, who cares if you, I don't care if you're in freaking platinum or diamond or whatever. Have fun. Mm. Have fun and playing.
I think if we had a Venn diagram of people who are on, you know, the other side of the argument of this argument to us, and then on the other side of this Venn diagram, people who, you know, send abusive messages to people, you know, over the internet about games being delayed and such, there'd be a lot of crossover, heaps and heaps of crossover.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Just
what do you think, Dan? Anyways,
the reviewers surprised me with Returnal because, you know, it was a tough game and it had pretty positive response. I thought that'd be a bit more sooky. Because I've always had the opinion that these reviewers aren't great at games. Just from looking at so many reviews over the years. And sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, watch Polygon's video on YouTube of their Doom first 30 minutes gameplay.
That's the sort of stuff.
By far the worst thing you've ever seen.
This is the sort of stuff but then that goes against what you guys are saying. Who cares if they're bad? Yeah. They can still review it, right?
Yeah, 100%. Anyone can review a game. Why do we put this gatekeeping thing in place? Like,
It's like, up to the reader to extract value from the review, you know?
And Dan, you said, like we don't want to say that all game reviewers, like we think about all game reviewers, but I think there are definitely some out there that aren't the best, but it doesn't mean that like they don't love games, that it isn't their passion. It's not something that they're really good at doing.
Yeah.
Go for it.
When I poke fun at them, I'm not saying that, you know, I don't value their opinions. You know what I mean? We're just poking fun at them.
Yeah.
But not being good. But you know, either is Kyle. So
that's true.
He hasn't been mentioned in a while. So throw his name out there.
There was a bit of a build up for his appearance, then everything just dropped off with him.
Yeah, after that episode, I think we lost about 80% of viewers.
Yeah. We're struggling. We're in struggle.
That's
struggle
the only straight. Thing that people are looking forward to.
Turns out that 80% was just Kyle's family waiting for him to get on.
I'll tell you one thing, Dan. This is what I mean by extracting your own meaning from the reviews. Dan, there's this YouTuber that Dan follows and he does reviews. I don't know if we should, I don't know if Dan wants to mention him, but he did a review on Assassin's Creed Valhalla. He's a very well-known reviewer. And Dan had the opinion that, like, he loves his reviews, that YouTuber's reviews, but this particular review he did on Valhalla, he didn't like. And he disagreed, and Dan thought maybe that's because he was rushing through it. He needed to get it done to get the review out by embargo. It's such a long game. So see, that doesn't mean that that YouTuber's reviews are invalidated. It just means you can extract value from that review and, you know, whatever way you want. And I'm sure Dan listens to all the other reviews that he's done from there on. It's just that one review. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. I've found a, you know, a handful of reviewers that I they're like, I wouldn't say trust, but I like they're my taste. You know, I mean, usually they get it right and we're on a similar wavelength, and that, I stick to those group of people these days. And you know, people like Polygon, I don't really put much weight into their reviews personally, just from what I've seen. I don't want to go on, there's a few like Washington Post and, you know,
Uncharted 4.
Yeah, well, there's even Survivor, who I know, who's in the Australian scene, I did not agree with his review on Death Stranding. They gave it a 4. Very, very harsh. Didn't agree. But you know, that's just one review. A lot of the others I have. So it's, you know, sometimes it's certain games, but it's an opinion, isn't it? At the end of the day, you're never going to agree. It's like my movie reviews. You're never going to agree with every review I do. It's just not possible.
That's why it's like good, important for me. Like, not that I put so much effort into reviews, I don't, but when I used to, I would always make sure that I would look at both good and the bad. Like, I know reviewers who love games and are, you know, really positive about games, and I knew reviewers who are very critical about games. Like, for one, back in the day, like Angry Joe, he would be very critical of games, but I always loved his reviews because it just, you know, it wasn't just reviewers that agreed with me. I didn't want to just have someone just, you know, agree with me and, you know, perk me up, but I wanted people who disagreed with me too, and to see both sides. It was always interesting. But yeah, Dan, going back to difficulty, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, where it stemmed from though was, so are you guys familiar with the Ackman on YouTube?
No, I'm not. No.
He put out a tweet and he said, adding a easy mode to Dark Souls would betray the tone, atmosphere, and identity that From Software aims to establish. The whole point of these games is that player is going up against incredible odds and the satisfaction that comes from conquering them. Having an easier mode would simply separate the player base and destroy From Software's intended experience. So
I agree with that.
And mostly. Then he said, if Dark Souls gets an easy mode, I'd like to request Dead Space get a less scary mode. Do you see where he's coming from?
Yeah, there? It's like if Dead Space wasn't scary, then
so yeah, this is with certain games, I agree with him.
Yeah, like this is why I don't think Dark Souls games will ever get a difficulty mode, because they're just staying out of it completely. Like, no, this is how you play a game. This is.
But I actually love when a game doesn't have a difficulty mode. That's I love that. I don't have the choice.
I actually do as well. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way I like to go in.
Tomb Raider was cool, where it had like puzzle difficulty, combat difficulty, exploring difficulty, and had all these different sliders. That's almost the opposite side, where it's like you could really customize and tailor your experience. Tomb Raider.
Really?
Tomb Raider. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Tomb Raider. Yeah. You can so for me, like
to me that was cool, but when I got a hold of it, it's like I don't know what to do. I want to be handheld a bit, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, for me, it's like I love the shooting, so I'm like, I'm going to do hard. I couldn't be stuffed with exploration, so I made that easy. And then I liked the puzzle, so I made that like medium or hard. So it's like, I'm getting the best of everything I want, because puzzles can be draggy. I hate exploration on open world, like going to nook and crannies and spending 20 minutes trying to find one thing. So I just made exploring really easy, but the combat really hard. So, you know, that's cool too. Yeah.
Yeah, not many games have done that, have they?
No, I think it's pretty cool to do that, you know?
Yeah. No, but in terms of reviews, it's depending on the game. If it's an Uncharted and you're playing on Explorer mode, you have to tell people that you're playing on Explorer, because if the reviewer says it was way too easy and you don't say what you're playing on, I mean, that invalidates it. But
it's exactly the same if you play on very hard.
Exactly. And then go,
dude, this game was way too hard.
It's too hard.
That's why you just, I feel like it should be commonplace in every review. Just say what you played
just
it on.
Just say what you played it on. And that just ends the nonsense, really.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And just mention how many hours you put in, roughly, is also good for me sometimes.
I think especially after what happened, you know, when we were leading up to Ratchet and Clank, when we were like stressing about it being only like, you know, what do we say? We were told it was going to be like maybe 6 hours with cutscenes,
which like it technically is, but it isn't. It isn't really.
Yeah,
I played it for 10 hours. So
yeah, it took me 10 to beat it.
Most people around 9 to 10, I'm pretty sure. Vike hasn't been there, have you, Vike?
No, I'm probably like 6 hours.
On? 6 hours in, yeah. So you're close, but anyway.
And Dan, how's that platinum for Ratchet going?
Oh, yeah. It's going really, really well. Very, very close.
Still.
Now, going into that, before we get into some of this news, do you just guys want to tell me what you've been playing the last couple of weeks, if anything?
Go for a Vike.
Mass Effect, pretty much nearly done with the ME1. I'm on Ilos.
So are you going to play all three back to back?
Yeah, I think I will. Maybe ME1 and 2 back to back. I don't know about maybe 3-2, but yeah. So that been playing that, and obviously some Warzone. Warzone, I've been playing a lot of Resurgence. That's just a lot of fun. I think Warzone is just good for an hour of free time.
We do talk about Warzone a lot, but
we do.
It's a really good game in there. It's just I don't understand why they don't have an anti-cheat Vike. It's just crazy at this point.
It's stupid. Stupidly crazy.
You guys saw that photo I posted to you from Charlie Intel where people were starting a petition and they were like, no, we're not playing crossplay. And they were trying to get all these people to turn off crossplay just as they could play with PlayStation people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea. It'll never carry because no one outside of the hardcore community even probably realizes that you're playing against PC people.
Did you hear about the hacks that happened in Apex?
No, didn't you?
I think this is about a week ago, actually, but I thought it's very relevant. This is actually maybe 15 or so days ago it was reported. I'm looking at the Verge article, but it was they hacked the game. Apex Legends, hackers hacked the game Apex Legends to show, so basically to put the message, so people hacking the game with a save Titanfall message. So that message would come on the screen because Titanfall was rife with hackers and they were doing nothing about it because they're sort of we're concentrating on Apex, Titanfall's gone. So hackers hacked Apex to say, get rid of the hackers in Titanfall. So
what?
I'm not saying that's a yeah. So it's very interesting.
They didn't, they haven't gotten rid of him in Titanfall. Yeah.
Well, I think Titanfall. They said there's only what, like two or three people on EA that are on Titanfall. That's all. That's it. That is managing things because they've obviously
there's not enough
really concentrating. Yeah. So to do anything to fix it, it's probably going to be unlikely.
You wouldn't find a game in Titanfall in Australia.
Could you imagine if someone
I wouldn't have thought so.
Hacked Warzone and said, save Warzone.
Yeah. Well, it's just ridiculous at this point. It's such a good game at its core. Like the shooting, you look at this new Ubisoft game and you just know the difference between Call of Duty and this and Battlefield. They're just so far ahead in terms of just, I don't know, the way it plays, the smoothness or the feeling.
It's got the COD smoothness. COD games have always
can't replicate it in any other game, can they?
No.
I mean, Doom, very good, but never gone into that realm of BR or multiplayer shooter, really. Not really. Especially
Doom's more projectile, as opposed to hit scan, where you click and the bullet will hit. Yeah, that's COD. So I'd say Doom and COD are a bit different in terms of shooters. But yeah, Doom killed it. 100% killed it.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm looking at this Ubisoft game and it just doesn't have that feeling, you know.
What I thought was okay, they're doing this some sort of extreme sports, this weird shooting multiplayer thing. I'm like, why not use siege mechanics? Or
hold on, Vi, you know this is a Tom Clancy game, right? You've got your wish.
Yeah. Well, do I? You know, why don't they use any of the Tom Clancy mechanics? It's Siege or Vegas or Advanced Warfighter, not Advanced Warfighter, but those sort of things. But instead, they're going for a Far Cry.
They obviously gave up on
Hyperscape, didn't
they? It
looks very Far Cry. And I'm like, Far Cry is probably not the optimal game that you want to replicate your shooting mechanics off. So I thought that was very strange. Maybe they just want to make it more accessible, but
Far Cry is very slow. Very slow.
Yeah, and even the reloading animations look so much like that stiff reloading. Siege is a lot different. So I don't know. I don't know why they're doing this, but yeah. I just know that it just puts one more nail into the Splinter Cell coffin. So
anyway, we were talking about what we were playing. So you play Mass Effect Warzone, that's it?
Yes. We'll be going back to Ratchet this week.
Jordan?
So I mentioned it before. I think I mentioned it last week as well. I was playing Outriders on PlayStation 5.
Ooh.
It was super fun. I platinumed it yesterday, I think, or maybe just on the weekend. And I really liked it. So I ended up starting a new character just to bust out these few trophies I needed. And there was a part of me that was like, damn, this new character is fun. Do I want to play through this game all the way again on this new character? I didn't, and I'm not going to. But a part of me really wanted to because it was that much fun. So I started off playing as a pyromancer. So all my anomaly powers were like fire-based. Mm. And then I started a new character who was more of a close range. His skills more close range. And she was called the Devastator. And so it was doing things like one of the skills I got was like, you put this shell over your body so you can absorb damage. And then there was like another one that was, you know, like a ground pound to beat enemies around you and stuff. So it was just really fun.
How were the boss fights? Were they all the same as the one we played in the end?
Yeah, it's very much just Division. Like, yeah. And if I'm being honest, it's the Division, but smoother.
But any big boss battles or not really?
No, there's no massive ones. There's just like an end, like you get a stage and there's a bigger enemy on the stage, but nothing. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it was sort of just that. But yeah, my pitch for it is it's the Division with cool classes. It's smoother. The world's more colorful because, you know, naturally you're moving through jungles and stuff. And the story is almost as unimportant as it is in the Division as well. Like, that's seriously the way I'd put it to you. Like, I was just like, I could not care less. I was initially interested in the story, like this whole like anomaly storm happens. And then like you get like something happens and you get like frozen in time and everything else moves, something like that.
At
like
a certain point, it just loses you, doesn't it?
I was just like, I could not care. And that's when I was like, I like playing this game. I'm going to platinum it, skip cutscene. I never normally do that. I can't remember the last time I did that for a game. But I was just like, I just could not be stuck.
But that didn't negatively affect.
No. And again, if I was reviewing the game like I am now, I'm telling you that this, but I still really enjoyed it. Like, I liked it in spite of the like uninteresting story. Yeah. So I did that.
With the journal, you got to fill in 300 journals. Is that collectible?
Yeah, they're collectibles, but you get a lot of them from doing the story and side missions. I think it's like 250.
So you don't even have to worry. Really,
I had to go back. I had to like search out some to get to find like the 300th. But by the time I'd finished everything, that was one of the last trophies I got. I think I had like 293 entries.
Yeah.
And it does actually have a really interesting end game where like you've got so obviously you play through all you and you have like all these world tiers where the enemies get harder, they drop better loot and stuff. And then you get up to the expeditions at the end, which is the end game content. And then there's like this really cool resource management thing you've got to do to be able to do the harder expeditions.
Mm.
And so you've got to like play the easier ones to then get the resources to play the harder ones. And then there's like a challenge tier that goes up each time as well. So it makes it even harder. So that way you're still progressing with your gear and everything. Super cool. Like really, really cool. I don't think I'll ever come back to it. Like I bought this game and I'll probably look at, you know, selling it now because I don't really have that much interest going back, but I really enjoyed my time with it. Like every time I sat down, I was like, oh, I probably could just play half an hour and get through a mission.
What's your rating? What if you had to give it a number?
It's like, it's probably going to seem harsh with how warm on it I was, but I'd have to give it like a 6.5 to a 7.
You'd say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was really fun, but like, the complete lack of an interest.
That's the same for me for like Mad Max, the game. I had a blast with it, but if I look at it from a perspective of a reviewer or something, I can understand a 7 out of 10 for that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what let Mad Max down, even though that game came out in 2015, what let that game down was like the lack of like actual shooting. I think that game would have been so much cooler.
I don't think there was any shooting, was there? It wasn't. It was hand to hand.
Yeah, you had a gun and it was a part of your hand-to-hand combat and that was it.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, so that was silly. But yeah, that's all I really played. So now I'm like,
Now wait, what about Star again? Wars Episode One Racer?
Oh, mate, can I tell you?
That's a bloody brilliant game.
Can I be honest? I was like, I don't think I ever played this game. But yeah, like,
it's such a good game.
I open it up, Duel of the Fates starts playing at the title screen. Oh,
wow, that's great.
And I was like, damn. Oh, man. Like, if you played this game when the first episode came out, it would have been hype as. And like,
that's what I did.
Did you know all the characters that are in the movie, that are in the game, are voiced by, they are all voiced by their actual voice actors?
Yeah.
In the game. Like Jake Lloyd is there, whoever does Sebulba, like they're all there.
Yeah, and you can like upgrade your ship from memory, and there's like you can buy Pitroids and get like different like upgrades and equipment. And how did you
platinum this in an hour?
Well, let me tell you. So in the original one, you can like access like the cheat menu, and there's a way that you just can get like access to the cheat menu on your new save game, and so like I just did it that way. Can I be honest though? I had so much fun with it. Like,
fun.
You have to play a few races, but I had so much fun just doing the few races that I did. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really fun game.
I played this game on my Pentium 4 PC back in like 1990, like early 2000s, I'm pretty sure. So it's bloody, and it was fun. Like the Tatooine map was actually like shot for shot. Like it was a pretty good remake.
I thought that as I was going through, I'm like, this seems like, from what I remember, almost a shot for shot remake of the actual Tatooine race.
It was just, and it was cool. Like I just loved the upgrades and stuff, you know, it was just really cool. And like, it was actually pretty hard and you felt like you were going fast and the controls are great. Like,
and it felt like you were actually like looking at a pod racer. It felt what I thought a pod racer would feel like driving one.
Now this is pod racing.
Dude, that's what the name of one of the trophies.
All it needed was some Tusken Raiders and it would have been beautiful.
Yeah, and I was missing, there was a severe lack of Watto.
Watto should have been in that game.
I think he might have been in one of the cutscenes, but I can't remember.
Watto, hey, yo, Watto.
That's Roz.
Sounds like a smoker that's had a few beers.
That's Roz from Monsters, Inc., mate.
Okay.
Mike, you gotta be like,
yeah, you got to be like, Ani, yeah. That's better.
What are you doing? You want to come?
Yeah. I spent a lot of time talking about two games that I didn't necessarily love, but that I enjoyed.
You've talked about Concrete Genie as well, yeah? You platinum that?
Yes. Yeah, I did the other way.
You didn't like it as much, did you? That was the breakaway.
I was hoping for more. I was hoping for more, but it was still fun.
Now, you guys, before I get into mine, are you guys going to play Plague's Tale? Is that on your radar yet or not?
I think I should. I think it's what I should play next.
Come on, Jordan. There's a lull, Jordan, for you. And I know you're not going to commit to Mass Effect. So no, play this. No. It's an easy plat, too.
Yeah, I think it's either that or Control that I'll play next.
Control, man. Mm. It's so good.
Mm. Or
so much fun.
Or now that we're in lockdown and I do have almost an abundance of time because I'm still working during the lockdown, I'm like, Persona 5 Royal still sitting there. I'm like, do I start to chip away?
Plague Tale, Jordan, is 10 and a half hours, according to how
that's not bad. And there's also Red Dead 2 online that I should be doing. I'm like,
10 and a half hours. I actually might give this a go, Plague Tale.
Yeah. You really should. So I've been playing, F1 2021.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
This is the first racer I've played this year.
Decent. Sure. It got very good reviews.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like solid reviews.
This was the first time EA took over Codemasters. I don't see any. Well, they didn't really affect the development because they came in quite late. So I didn't. There's no real microtransactions. They're trying to do this little season pass thing, I've noticed, which has come into the fold. Classic EA. But, you know, there's a lot of actual content in that for the guys that love playing multiplayer. So it might actually be cool. I don't really play it for multiplayer. I'm not a fantastic racing player. I've got the wheel and that, but I'm maybe slightly above average, but 86 nothing special.
Metacritic.
Mm-hmm. They've added in a career mode for the first time ever with actual voice actors.
That's
for the
awesome.
First time an actual story that's developing here. Mm-hmm. That really added a lot for me. That's what it was missing. This career
that's
mode.
Really cool.
Some cutscenes to get you in. This would be the one I recommend to you guys just for that fact that there's an actual story. You go in, there's a villain who, you know, crashes you and makes your stuff. Classic story, but it gets you involved. And it's really great. Like this, it's the same thing that the Netflix show that they do, F1, Drive to Survive. Mm. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a fantastic show on Netflix.
Yeah.
That got a lot of people into F1 that weren't into it just because the show was so well edited and they're trying to get new people in. This could actually get people in that are just racing fans and not F1 fans. This could get them into the sport, stuff like this. I really enjoyed it. I can't give you a review at the moment. To the naked eye, the gameplay feels the same as the last couple of years. Let's be honest. Like I don't know the difference because I'm not playing this game, you know, so religiously that I can't really feel the difference. It feels fantastic to me every year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So it's an annualized franchise that I don't know how far can they go with it. You know, the graphics will slightly improve each year, but this is one thing that they've put some time into to make it a little bit extra. So I like that.
Maybe that EA money next year might make it a little bit bigger too.
Yeah. And they've added some multiplayer stuff as well. You can customize your own car and things. I'm really enjoying that. Haven't beaten the story yet, so beat that this week. I've also, for me, I've put a task on myself to beat every single Resident Evil game. Have I mentioned this to you guys?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it last week.
Yeah, I'm going.
How are you going with it?
Every single one to try and finish every single one in a row. I beat the first game, the original, on PlayStation. I tell you what, man, they don't hold your hand back then. The way they do the save system, I don't know if you've played it, but now I should mention I've played this before, but I never beat it. So I played it. The way the save works is you've got these typewriters and you have to manually save. There's no autosave. So if you, and but it's not only that, but you also have to pick up these ink ribbons to be able to save. So you have to find, there's only a certain amount. So if you save too heavy at the start, you're going to screw yourself over because you won't find any more ink ribbons. Do you see what I'm saying there?
Yeah. Yep.
So if you've used them all, right, and you've saved a certain spot and you play about an hour and die, you go all the way back. You don't, and it's unforgiving. They don't do that these days with difficulty. They hold your hand like Village. It's just autosave or typewriter. You don't need an ink ribbon. So it's
the last game I think did a obviously apart from like Dark Souls and stuff, which has its own sort of different save system.
Mm.
But Dead Space 2 had like a nightmare difficulty or something. I don't remember the exact name of it. But there was a difficulty like that where it was like you get 6 saves for the entire game. That's it.
Yeah, I love this because it adds a lot of pressure to each encounter that we're missing in the modern day games. When I was playing through this, there was some stressful moments. Like if you die here, you've just lost 30 minutes. And time is valuable, you know, for us.
Mm. But so, and that's also the counter argument for why they got rid of that.
Exactly. Exactly. But for me, it was annoying. But then once I finish, you get the satisfaction. So you don't get as much satisfaction these days. That's what I'm saying. But
yeah, I know, 100% get you. Yeah,
you got to be in the mood for it as well.
Yeah,
you know,
so have you finished this one now?
Yeah, I finished one. I'm halfway through two. I'm also playing through 4, 5. I'm jumbled at the moment. So I've played that, and then obviously Warzone, and the last game was Family Feud. Getting the platinum for that.
Nice.
Yeah, it's hilarious because it's US questions. So
I was about to say, how does Brent,
you can't answer with Vegemite. You're not going to get it right.
I was just about to say, how does the Grant Denyer Family Feud mocap go? How does that look on the PS5?
Yeah, he doesn't. Well, I thought it'd be Steve Harvey, but even he didn't get a,
like some generic voice?
It's like some generic white guy that flips around.
It's just a generic white guy. So it's the dude from Buzz. Yeah. Oh, Buzz guy had some personality. This guy's got nothing, but there's some online. I got to win 10 online games. Shit, I better get to that before they turn those servers off. You want to do it with me, Jordan?
No.
You've got all the time in the world. Come on, man.
I've actually got Family Feud, but it's on my PS4.
It's all the time that I'm putting towards...
On your PS4? I've got it on PS5. Come on, mate.
Yeah, but I didn't bring my PS4 to Sydney.
You don't need to because you've got a PS5.
Oh, yeah. Nah, it's too hard, man.
Oh, look at him.
Actually, slithering. Like, you know what? You and I should play together.
Yeah, let's do that. I'll install it.
Okay. Now, just a couple of quick stories here. So Ubisoft have delayed Rainbow Six Extraction and Riders Republic. I actually didn't see this coming because both were already delayed.
I was about to sarcastically say surprise, surprise. And then I thought about it for a second. I'm like, no, wait, this actually is a surprise.
They already delayed it. They already delayed Riders. That was supposed to come out February.
So
they must be having some issues. I don't know.
It must be the pandemic or...
Because they'll blame it on the pandemic, but...
I mean, yeah. But if it was one game, I'd be like, yeah, okay, there must be something wrong. But both games, maybe there's some... Yeah, maybe just resource management during the COVID, but...
Especially you'd think because, like, I would have thought Extraction was supposed to be out by now. I would have thought that what held them back was the, you know, because it used... What did it used to be called? Quarantine.
Quarantine.
Yeah, so I would have thought, like, the story was that, like, I don't know whether there was any truth to this, but, like, the general consensus was that, you know, we didn't see that game for ages because everyone in the world was quarantining. And it was like, oh, can you really release a game called Rainbow Six Quarantine? That was just my understanding. I could be completely wrong. So, like, the fact that it's now pushed into 2022, I'm like, yeah, there must have been something go wrong. That's meant that it's not coming.
Their statement was, our ambition with Extraction is to deliver a fully fledged AAA experience that changes the way you play and think about co-op games. With unique features like missing in action or the sprawl, every mission is set to be tense and challenging experience. We're embracing the opportunity to take additional time to bring the vision to life. And January 2022 is now the new time, just around when Elden Ring is supposed to come out. I guess it's a very different game. Maybe they can find a space there.
Yeah,
they are very different games. So I guess they're not competing. But AAA experience, when I saw the footage of Extraction, I didn't scream AAA to me, if I have to be perfectly honest.
I can't remember what Extraction looks like, almost. I'm going to have to pull some footage up.
I wouldn't say it didn't look AAA. I'd just say it didn't look standalone. It almost just looked like reminded me of a side mode off Siege.
That's not a great thing to say.
No. I mean,
that's not a compliment, is it?
Yeah. But 100% it is. They're using the same operators. It's based off the Outbreak event that happened and all that. So, they're just making it this side story standalone.
Do you reckon it was a DLC mode that they just converted at some point?
Well, the Outbreak mode was very loved by the fans, and there was like full cutscenes and everything. You learnt about a lot of the characters, and the operators were interacting with each other and stuff. It was really cool.
But if they've
created some cool characters,
because they've got 60 million Siege players, that have played the game, right? 60 million or whatever the number is. If they think they're going to get all 60 million to play this, they're nuts.
Nah, this is single player.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, it's co-op.
I mean, co-op, but it's not competitive multiplayer.
Yeah, three player co-op. I was supposed to be playing it, but that got cancelled. So I will, when I do get to play it, I will let you guys know. And then also Riders. Yeah, that one, I don't know. It could have been a great time to come out. Around about now, it's like Fall Guys are Among Us. That came at the perfect time, you know.
That definitely screams game that's going to be like just super fun to play. Like it won't. There's not going to be any depth to it. It's just going to be like it's just going to be fun to do some extreme sports.
I played Among Us yesterday.
Did you?
I've never played Among Us.
Really?
Oh, and I also played Age of Empires, some more AoE 2, and I started playing Don't Starve Together as well. Probably should have mentioned that in the what we've been playing.
You just missed half the games you've played. Oh, yeah, guys, I've been playing about 6 games. Forgot to mention that. Yeah. In the segment where we mention where we're playing games. You're funny. Well, I guess they weren't on PlayStation, were they?
No, they're all PC.
Yeah, don't want to hear about it. Just shut up and do your taxes. Right.
Dude, I'm so keen for AoE 4. Very, very excited.
Yeah, I'm keen, and I don't play those games. So now
I'm going to need to update my drivers.
What's this PS4 mining issue? Can you just give us the rundown
it's
quickly?
It's just the best story. So basically,
it's wholesome.
It's very wholesome. In Ukraine, the police in the Ukraine raided a warehouse filled with 3,800 PS4 consoles all lined up on shelves. They're all plugged in and connected. It was a huge farm of consoles. And they originally thought, is this a crypto mining farm, you know? So it turns out what it was grinding FIFA Ultimate Team, all right? It was grinding FIFA Ultimate Team currencies in player cards, and they were selling those accounts. Now, obviously, EA's policies, you're not allowed to sell accounts and buy accounts. No wonder EA brought in the Ukrainian police to raid. Of course, EA will take 20 minutes, you know, take all the time in the world to fix their games, but as soon as someone's stealing from them, they're on it. Now, but this is obviously like, you know, a law-breaking type event. So
so
they basically raided and arrested these people, and it was just a huge bot farm for FIFA Ultimate
Team. Bot farm, how would that work? Do you think they're buying players off the market for cheap prices, holding on?
I don't
know
if they're like running the games and then just grinding out rewards, you know,
like they're losing every game.
I don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah, I've got a feeling they've got an algorithm that is buying and selling things, and over time they're gaining money or something to be able to spend.
So yeah, the consoles are running bots to grind out like Ultimate Team, like they're playing games and the bots are grinding it out.
Oh, okay. But so part of me thinks that like not much information has been released on this because they don't want it like getting out there.
No, how other people can do it. Maybe they're finding matches with each other, so one of them is getting the win. Because I feel like you got to win to gain. I don't know. I can't remember.
You can still get rewards for losing.
I was about to say, because at the same time, I don't think they're caring about their stats. Like, all they want is money in that.
These PS4s are running 24 hours, 7 days a week, and they've got 3,800.
It's just under 4,000 of them.
3,000 of them in the one warehouse? How much power is that?
I know.
This is what I mean. They must be making money off it. Jesus.
The top comment on Push Square is greed ruins the game for everybody, .. But enough about EA and its predatory monetization practices. Check out the nerve of these criminals.
Yeah, right. Well, EA have that announcement coming up soon, which is, I've heard it's Dead Space. So from multiple sources.
Yeah, it seems like it's Dead Space. They seem like they've after the other week, it seems like it's definitely Dead Space.
Yeah, and they put out a statement for Skate saying, yeah, Skate's, we're not ready pretty much. So don't expect that. Next story, T-Lau, HBO show. You know what I heard about this show, actually? This isn't the story. I heard that they're spending upwards of 8 figures per episode.
Good.
Yeah, I heard that too. Spend 8 more. Figures or 7 figures?
Was it 7?
Yeah, 8 figures 7. Would be the tens of millions. Maybe.
I mean, it's possible. But yeah, maybe it was 7, but it's still a lot of money for a per episode.
Big budget TV shows are in, man. Look at shows like Chernobyl or the Disney Plus shows. They just rake in these high production value shows, rake in money.
We're going off topic. Did you guys watch Thrones? Black Widow?
Nah, not yet.
Yes.
Did you like it, Jordan?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Did you?
Yep.
And Vic hasn't seen it?
I'll probably be watching it on Premiere Access.
Okay. We'll save that until you've seen it, Vic. We'll save it until you've seen it.
Yeah.
To go into it. But, so what's the story? Bill Frank and Moore have been casted.
Yeah, so it was just a little story about
Jeffrey Pierce, who voiced Tommy.
But he's not playing Tommy.
He's not playing Tommy. I mean, what is going on there? It's crazy. Doesn't make sense.
So he's going to be playing a dude named Perry. So a guy named Con O'Neill is going to take on the role of Bill. And then this one is the interesting part. So Murray Bartlett, he's not the interesting part, you know, but Murray Bartlett has been cast as Frank, Bill's partner. Now,
who knocks himself off.
He's someone we only meet as a corpse.
Oh, no, he doesn't knock himself, does he?
Yeah, does he does. Hang himself? Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he does.
Because he got infected.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm.
And then you read the note that they're actually together. You didn't.
Yes.
They're actually, yeah.
Can I be honest? That was something I didn't pick up until someone had mentioned it. Like I read the notes and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, what a game.
Oh, man. And like, I think Bill's Town is one of my favorite parts. It's definitely in my top five favorite areas.
You think that game's better than the second?
I don't know. I can't say.
If you gave me The Last of Us Part 1 with The Last of Us Part 2's gameplay and mechanics, that would be perfect. Oh, perfecto mundo.
They're remastering it. You might be in luck.
for the second time.
You're about to get The Last of Us Director's Cut, so...
Oh, no.
And then you'll get the Last of Us Director's Cut remastered. Soon we get the Ratchet and
Clank Rift Apart Director's Cut. Just came out. Anyway.
These Director's Cuts, man. Nah.
So, yeah, I'm just a bit weird that Jeffrey Pierce, who voiced Tommy, wasn't playing Tommy. Because he's the first... Oh, no, because the Marlene actor, what was her name?
Yeah, but Merle Cedric,
she's playing her character from the game.
Merle Dandridge, yeah. She's
so it's not Marla like they haven't done that. You know, that's what's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
But in saying that, you couldn't get Troy Baker to play Joel. That wouldn't work.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't look like him. He's some skinny white dude like me.
And he looks very much like you.
And Joel, he does actually a little bit, doesn't he? Especially now that I've got my hair short.
You're better looking, John.
Oh, thank you.
Jordan looks like multiple people, I would say. Yeah. You got Troy Baker, you got the Dyson Heppel, and well, Vic, I don't
you
know.
Look a bit like Nick Fury.
Why then?
And Dan, you look like Nicola Peckovic.
What do you mean? Why? You look like him in the face. That's it.
Everyone, you need to look up. Oh, yeah. No, everyone, you need to look up the basketball player. Nikola Pekovic. That's who Dan looks like.
Oh, hold on. How do I spell that?
You think he looks like Pekovic?
Yes, 100% he does.
Yeah. Nikolai you're right,
Pekovic.
Nikola Pekovic, yeah.
Yeah. Tibbles.
Jesus.
Tell me that's not you.
It's a mix of Jerome and Dan put together.
It does look like a bit Jerome, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Dude, my eyebrows aren't that thick. Come on. This guy's got a unibrow happening.
Anyways.
Now, who's the voice of Black Panther in Avengers?
Christopher Judge. The voice. Wakanda. Wakanda.
Oh, man, that'd be a bigger news story.
I like it.
Chris Evans is playing Black. No, yeah.
Christopher Judge, best known as the most recent voice actor of Kratos. So this is this isn't that much of a story because like the reason it's such an important story, but it's not because it's about Marvel's Avengers, because we we've made it clear how that game has fared. The reason I put this in there is because this is significant because he's going to be the first person to play a version of T'Challa since Chadwick Boseman's untimely passing last year. Was it last year or 2019?
I think it was 2019.
Yeah, I think it might have been. So there was actually an interview with Christopher Judge, and he actually gets really emotional talking about it because it was something he actually...
2020.
It was actually August. Something... Oh, there you go. Really? August 2020?
Mm.
Yeah, oh, and Kobe.
Like a lifetime ago.
Before then.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so this was a role that Christopher Judge initially turned down and said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he's, you know, ended up obviously changing his mind. But yeah, like, I don't really have that much else to add except that, like, you know, it's pretty important that this is happening, especially because, not that this goes against what Marvel's word was or anything, but, you know, I think it was Kevin Feige came out and said that in the MCU, T'Challa will never be recast. There'll obviously be different Black Panthers, but T'Challa won't be. So not that, like, this goes against that word or anything like that, but it's just important that, you know, we're getting a different version of T'Challa here and someone else is going to be, you know, voice acting him, but he's still going to be paying attention to, you know, that legacy that Chadwick started.
That's my dream interview, Christopher Judge. He'd be up there. Oh, for God of War Ragnarok. Oh, man.
I would not let you do that interview without me, can I be honest?
You want to join in, yeah.
If you get him and then get T.C. Carson, the original voice actor of
Oh, Kratos. People keep asking me about that. I got to get him on.
Yeah. Yeah. I reckon you could. I reckon you could definitely get
T.C. Carson. Yeah, I think I could get... I think Chris is very tough, but I think I could probably get Carson, yeah.
Christopher Judge, man, he is one big unit. He's just an absolute unit.
He's definitely large.
He's a very good actor too. Yeah. So... yeah, I'll keep an eye on this Black Panther. I mean, they're hyping it up. This is the resurgence. So this will be, if they can't nail this, then the game's done. This is their last chance, I think. Now, Sony not appearing at Gamescom. So are they going to do their...
surprise.
I've heard they're doing their own thing.
Yeah, it's their not own, much of a surprise.
What was that event called? PSX. Yeah, that's
PlayStation Experience.
That's coming back, Jordan, from what I've heard.
Oh, man.
I predicted this a year ago that PSX will return. I said the death of E3 will bring back PSX.
I've been saying every year because I just want it to happen, not because I think it will. I just want it to happen. PSX is the best.
I think they did it a few times, though, didn't they?
I said, remember that last year where it was just like talk shows and it was like, this is not what we want.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a list that came out and then of like people who will be going there from like these organizers. And there were people like Bandai Namco, Activision, Xbox, EA, Sega, and Ubisoft. No Sony. So,
man, fuck Sony, man. They're just playing their own game these days, aren't they?
And it's working. It's working.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're in the lead. They're in the lead. So, you can't argue. And final story, Ratchet & Clank tops the NPD chart. It is number one for the month of June. It beat Call of Duty, which is actually big. And it's number one for PS5, PS4. And is it in the top selling games of the year? No, it hasn't made the top 10 yet. Oh, there you go.
Look so at that number 10.
That's not good. So you're telling me Outriders has sold more. From what I heard, Outriders sold 2.5 to 3 mil.
Outriders was definitely a moment. There was definitely a lot of people playing it. We should keep in mind, however, definitely needs to be kept in mind. There are 4 SKUs of Outriders.
I know.
So that keep that in mind. Like, I don't think there's no alarm bells going here for Ratchet and Clank because you can get PS4, PS5, Xbox, Xbox One, or Xbox Series X, Xbox One versions of Outriders and probably on PC as well. So that's 5.
Well, I already know that Resident Evil sold 5 mil and that's number 2. So Cold War has sold more than 5 mil.
Mm-hmm,
MLB The Show at 3? Is that serious?
MLB's now multi-platform.
Yeah, no, but that's crazy. Baseball's huge.
Does that count downloads on Game Pass?
No.
No, that's a lot of people.
Digital sales not included. From what I've
only
what
for. I'm seeing. Yeah. Oh, Xbox digital sales not included. Yeah, that's even crazier. Then, good on them.
Yeah, baseball's big, man.
Mario Kart 8 is still in the best-selling games of 2021. It's number 7.
It's been a slow year. It's been a slow year, but oh my gosh. to me, this story is a much, because Ratchet and Clank, of course, is going to be the top. Like, nothing else came out this month. Nothing.
Well,
had no competition.
Mario Golf did, and that's like I'm
Mario
not even
Golf. I mean,
it's third.
Golf on the Switch only is third. Let that sink in.
Yeah, and there's no digital sales there either. I should mention that for Mario Golf.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if Ratchet and Clank, if you could call it a success sales-wise at the moment. Again, it'll have a long hold over
Super
the next
long
5 years.
Because this will be a game that's included with consoles for years.
For them, it's not about the first even year, I don't think. It's the long haul, I would say.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, if I knew any kids that were going to get a PS5, that's a game I'd recommend. So,
not even kids. If I knew people who were getting it, I'd say get it.
All right, guys, we had a question before we wrap up today. Best adaptive trigger games, just quickly. Mm-hmm. Now, I've turned them off. I've had them off for the last 2 months.
I actually hate you sometimes.
I can't confirm or deny. You can't hate me. We're going to be neighbors soon.
That is true.
I can egg your house, mate. I can get Winnie to take a shit out the front.
You've already done that.
No, I didn't. That was a joke. I can actually do it next time. You actually thought that was me. Wow.
Legitimately did.
Best adaptive trigger. Is it Returnal?
I would say Returnal. Like, that was so necessary for that game because you had to half L2 to ADS and then a full press of L2 would get your alternate fire, and it just worked so well. I thought I'd have slippage, you know, where I'd accidentally press too hard or slip, but I didn't slip once. The only thing was, when you first play the game, you just have to train your brain, because when you play reactive shooters, you just panic and hold the trigger down, press it max. But there's never, once you got used to it, there was never a time where I actually like intended to do a half press and I accidentally press more. It was, but then to full press, it wasn't like I had to put heaps of resistance. So it just nailed this feel of adaptive triggers. And Ratchet and Clank did the same thing. And Jordan had a great one in Death Stranding, if he wants to go into that.
That's not for another month now. But when Death Stranding comes out, that will probably be the best, I would think. That's just me speculating, because that game is all about using the triggers to balance and everything as you make your deliveries.
That's coming out at a good time as well.
Yeah. Two other games to keep your eye on as well will be another director's cut. So Ghost of Tsushima, when that comes out on PS5, that'll have awesome adaptive triggers. Horizon will have awesome adaptive triggers.
Another, I wish Horizon would come out this year.
Oh, same. Another game probably flew under the radar. Oh, no, it didn't, because people thought this game was amazing, but people have probably forgotten about it now. What? Astro's Playroom had awesome.
Oh, that's number one. That's got to be number one, no?
I think Returnal still takes it, because Playroom was a little bit gimmicky, but okay. I remember like getting someone, I think I was, might have been like my sister who was talking to me as I was playing. I was like, you've just got to feel this, like feel the tension as like I'm springing here. Like, it's incredible. It is like one of those, like what do they call it? Like a come to Jesus moment where I was like, I get it. I'm buying into the feedback now. Like I'm buying into the adaptive triggers. I'm all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've got to play Returnal.
Crying out loud.
I've got to play Returnal.
You do.
Oh, man.
And turn those trigger. Turn your feedback on.
And you got to play Village. Come on, Jordan. You will like Village, man. I'm telling you.
No, it seems too spoopy.
No, it's not. It's not scary, man. It's not scary. Seven's scary. Village is not scary. I don't think it's scary.
You might want to play a Resident Evil game, man, if it's not scary.
There was a very scary.
I wanted
moment.
To play
I'm
something
lying.
That wasn't scary.
I'm
I'd
lying.
Play.
There was a very
All-Stars
there.
I even had the scary moment in Village.
Yeah, that was a very creepy moment.
That was very creepy, and it's
something to do with a baby.
Yeah,
But guys, you don't play many horror. You got to get in. It's exhilarating with headphones on, man. I'm telling you, play in the daytime if you have to.
Tried that. Too scary.
I don't know. For me, it's just like, it's not that I'm scared. I just can't deal with the adrenaline of it. It's just too stressful.
So, yeah. I'm like, I just don't find it enjoyable. I'm like, who's like,
oh, you would though if you stuck it out. If you stuck it out,
I just remember playing Outlast. I'm like, oh my gosh, where do I go? Where do I go? Where do I go? I have to run, I'm like, it's just too stressful.
Yeah, I just don't see how I'm like, oh, I just finished my day of work. Oh, how good's this? Go home and sit on my couch and get the absolute crap scared out of me. Like, what?
Don't
buy the hype.
Far out. All right, guys. It's been a pleasure. What are you playing this week quickly before I let you go?
Ratchet. Warzone, Mass Effect, Age of Empires, Don't Starve. I don't know. One of those.
Goodness me. Might start Plague Tale, might start Control, might continue Persona.
I'm actually interested to see what you end up doing, Jordan.
I will probably end up playing like some other dumb game I find on my list, like Darksiders or something. I'd be like, I really want to try Darksiders 2. I just didn't give it a good shot.
All right, guys. What are you playing, as always, man? Me. I'm going to finish Resident Evil 2.
And then finish Ratchet.
And finish Ratchet, Plunderman, yeah. Guys, if you could please do us a favor, 5-star review on Apple would be fantastic. Share the podcast with a friend. Please, wherever you are in the country, if you know someone that loves PlayStation, hit them up with us and say, these guys are fucking legends. But as always, guys, it's been a pleasure. Take care, guys.